Greetings of love in our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, His name, His good name, that name which is above every name. Thankful to be gathered together in His name again today and to see your faces again and to be refreshed with the reunion of saints. Maybe we'll begin with a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, thank you again for your mercies in sending us your dear Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for the privilege of being called your children. And Father, we want to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith we are called, this calling. And we would like to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and that we might be found not having our own righteousness, but that which is of you, that which is has your name on it in his an origin. Dear Father, we praise you for your word. We ask you for wisdom and your spirit's infilling as we gain some admonition and encouragement from these words. And we ask for our dear brother David, lament that he is not able to be with us this morning, very close, and we ask you to heal him according to your good will, dear God. Bless the brothers across the world, the brothers in Colombia who were looking forward to Brother David's visit this Sunday, like Ishmael and Karen and their children, Marta and Paula, and Brother Jorge and his wife Andrea and their children. Lord, we bless. We ask you to bless them, and for Omar as well. And Father, the other brothers and sisters that we know and those that we don't know that are in this world, pray for them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why don't we turn to 2 Kingdoms, or 2 Samuel in the King James, but here in the Septuagint, 2 Kingdoms, and chapter 19. I would like to start out with looking at the example in some men, and especially a man here that's part of a story, a very interesting story, sometimes violent, sometimes really exciting, and a story that's full of little lessons for us. And chapter 19 and verse 32 is where I'd like to begin. A little bit of the surrounding story here. Remember the son of David, the wayward boy, the rebellious one, the one that was good looking, the one that had a thick head of hair and a talent of speaking, and I believe humor as well, and just an attractive and just a nice fellow to be around, grew up and turned against his father and decided he'd like his father's place. Especially, I mean, he was smart enough to see the need that his father couldn't reach around to everybody, and turned against him. Got to the point where he created a revolution and got himself anointed king by a large group of his followers, people whose hearts he had stolen. And everything seemed to be going really good on his behalf. And he took the kingdom over, and his father had to flee because naturally, in a time like that, the one who is defeated is going to be killed, or at very best, exiled. And so King David, beloved King David, had to flee and leave the throne and leave the city and flee for his life. And he was in trouble, King David, in his older age. It's really sad how he had to be running for his life again, probably reminiscent of his past days of fleeing from King Saul, his bitter enemy, who was king before him and who tried to kill him just because he had good favor with the people, and because he behaved himself so wisely that it got noticed by others. And now here he was on the run, and he needed help, but there were some loyal, faithful people that stood up, stood for him, and helped him. In verse 32, let's read this. David is now, Absalom got defeated, and he was killed, which was against David's wishes, but he was killed, and there was nothing to do for King David but to go back to his throne. All Israel would look for a leader, and he needed to go back. And he was on his way back, and this Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rehelam and went across the river Jordan with the king to exhort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Maanaim, and he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, "Come across with me, and I will provide for your old age in Jerusalem." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am 80 years old today. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. Why should the king repay me with such a reward? Let me, your servant, remain and die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Chimham. He will cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you." And the king answered, "Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now I will do for you whatever you ask of me." Then all the people went over the Jordan, and the king crossed, and the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned to his place. Now, for what reason was the king so delighted to honor an aged man like this? A man that whatever he would say, the king would do. If it was go and lift up and do good to his servant, the king would do that. He said, "Whatever seems good to you, I'll do it." And why was this? That the king would go and tenderly kiss him and bless him before he parts ways with him. He would first of all offer, "You come. You might as well come with me. I need you with me. I want to do you good." Let's just back up a few chapters and read here. The reason in chapter 17, at the end of the chapter, when David is on the run at Mahanaim, maybe we could pronounce it, verse 17. No, let's see, 27, 10 verses later, 27. Verse 24 says, David went through the desert wilderness to Mahanaim. This is a king having to flee across the desert. Verse 27, now when David came to Mahanaim, he was met by Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah, of the sons of Ammon, Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rehelam. They brought 10 beds and tapestries, 10 basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, parched seeds, honey and butter, sheep and cheese of the herd, and they offered them to David and the people with him to eat, for they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the desert." Just at a beautiful time, here. I mean, just the perfect time. Here came a Subway meal for some hungry people. And everything else that they might need. Things to wash with, wash up, get cleaned up, get refreshed a little bit. Just at the perfect time. In the desert. He didn't live there. He was from Rahelim, this Barzillai. And the rest of these good men here who aren't lifted up to us in detail, but they're there. Men who knew to do good and did it now. Men who remembered their Creator. Men who remembered why they were made. They remembered why they were here. Men who had good hearts, quick to do good. And here's a man still doing it in his old age. 80 years old. He didn't start then. He started before. This was a way of life for him, or he wouldn't have been so quick and ready to do this. Get all this together so quickly and bring it. I mean, we're talking about cloth, beds, 10 beds, basins. I mean, this is not just a Subway meal. It's the hotel. It's almost the air conditioning. I mean, it's everything. They were ready. And they knew that the people were hungry and weary and thirsty in the desert. So with that story in mind here, I'd like to turn now to Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. Now I'd like to talk about remembering our Creator. Okay, let's read in verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years arrive when you say, I have no will to face them. Remember your Creator. We didn't make ourselves. And just the very thought that we weren't wise enough and good enough and qualified enough to make ourselves or anybody else instills in us a reverence for something better than we are and someone greater than we are and a responsibility that is entrusted to us. Verse 2, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. So he says, this is when you need to remember your Creator. Before the difficult days come and the years arrived, when you are weaker, when you don't have the encouragement, the courage and the aspiration to run out and to face a new day. And to rejoice at its greeting. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. And I would just like to take the time here to go through these verses and look at some of the infirmities that clog the life and vitality in old age. Of the human body in old age. First of all, a lack of encouragement, of courage there in the first verse. And in verse 2, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. The eye doesn't receive as much light, they tell us, in old age. it's amazing how I always used to be perplexed at how men would tell me, you know, when they'd see me working on something on a vehicle, they'd say, "I don't see how you see that. As dark as it is in there, can I get you a light?" And my own parents, "Turn a lamp on." I would be reading. And now I tell my children that. "Don't be reading in the dark there." "Well, I can see just fine," they say. Their eyes are just sponges for the little bit of light there is. Still are. Doesn't look dark to them. And now I find myself running for a flashlight because it's too dark. "And the clouds do not return after the rain," it says. The end of one problem is just the beginning of another. You get through one thing, like they'd say in the potholes in Guatemala, that long road is 2 hours of driving. Now we did it in, I think, 35 or 40 minutes. It was over 2 hours to drive the same run here a few years ago when it was so bad. And the one fellow made a comment, Brother Carlos Chuta. He said, "You get delivered from one pothole to enter the next." It's kind of how they say it. It's how old age is. That's how the infirmities are. The clouds just come right back after the rain. And then you can't blame it anymore. You used to be able to blame it on the weather for feeling under. But they don't feel good when it shines, when it's nice, often. So he said, remember your Creator before that happened, when the clouds don't return after the rain. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. What are the keepers of the house? Who keeps this house, this body? Well, we often think of our hands being what runs the washcloth, what ties our shoes and buttons up our coat to go outside, combs the hair down. The keepers of the house tremble, shaking. Just start shaking. Did you ever see an old person shaking? And not only their hands shake, but their head shakes. There have been preachers confused. In fact, it happened to me already, I think, seeing someone back there in the audience. Maybe I thought they were agreeing with me, and here they were just shaking. Or there's a preacher I read about that just had to, he just a number of times reinforced his point and explained his point over again because there was a man back there shaking his head no the whole time, and it was just from shaking. The keeper of the house was shaking. And the men of strength are led astray. I think it says in the King James, and strong men bow themselves. Who are the two strong men? The legs. They're led astray. They're not the men of strength anymore. They're kind of sabotaged with varicose veins and I don't know what all, rheumatism, arthritis. When the women who grind the grain become idle. Who are the women who grind the grain? Because they are few. Well, it's the teeth. These are metaphors. A metaphor is a figure of speech that tells that you use in an interesting way, which the talented writer Solomon here used these metaphors to explain the conditions and the body parts of an older person. And so there's hardly any teeth anymore. And you know we have ways of getting around that today. They advertise and they say, you know, teeth implants have been used to be expensive, now they aren't anymore, things like that. But they become few. And in the old days, if a man had one tooth, I remember Monica's grandma talking about an old man that she used to know, that he had one tooth left, and he was just so glad for that tooth because he liked peanuts so well, is how she said it. And he would just take that peanut and crush it against that tooth, one by one, crush it against that tooth, and he can eat one peanut after another that way. But they cease because they're few. And the food has to be ground up, and sometimes it just has to be swallowed whole. When the women who look out the windows will remain in darkness. The eyes, glasses, and then that doesn't work anymore. And eyesight fails. Hard to see anymore. When the doors are shut in the marketplace, they stay inside. They just don't feel like going out. You can't really. You just don't. There's too many dangers out there. And the sound of the grinding is low. You can't hear anymore. And then whatever you do hear, you jump awake at. When one rises up at the sound of a sparrow, they sleep so light. I remember old Chester Weaver in Guatemala telling me, I mean, I was up talking to someone, and I probably told this before, but he just woke up, and he's just chewed me out. He said, "Why are you not sleeping yet? I haven't slept a bit yet." And people heard him snoring before that. But just little noises get you up. And it's hard for us as younger people to imagine this, but that's where we're headed. And the daughters of song are brought low. The singing, and remember this Barzillai I talked about that. He couldn't taste as well. He said, "And I can't hear the singing men and singing women anymore. There's no use. I'm not going to just enjoy it thoroughly in your palace." Also, they will look from the height, and there are terrors in the way. Scared. I remember an old man in the shop at near New Media, Pennsylvania, where I worked for part of a year. And this old client came in there, an old farmer, and he was talking, and he was just really feeble. And the air compressor turned on, and I just remember it was funny to me then, but he would not be comforted until the proprietor went, and the owner went, and my boss went and laid his hand on his shoulder and just said, "Don't worry about it, that's just the air compressor," because he was just looking all around and trying to figure out what calamity was taking place. But he couldn't help it. The height, to look up, you know, or to look down, you know, how could I ever make it up there? Think about it, boys and girls, young men, and all of us. The almond tree blossoms, white hair. The almond tree just blossoms. Look at that. And the grasshopper grows fat. You could let your imagination run there, but there's someone said that perhaps the grasshopper was a food that could be digested real lightly. It's hard to imagine, but anyway, it fell real lightly on the stomach. Maybe why John the Baptist ate grasshoppers. And just a simple, very light food, but it grew. It's a burden. The King James says, grows fat. and the caper plant is scattered. The hair just doesn't grow so consistently anymore. Bald spots. Man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the marketplace. He says it in the same breath, basically. So, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember, verse 6, your Creator until the silver cord is removed. The silver cord of life. Maybe that which binds body and soul together, it's loosed at once. And the golden flower is pressed together, shriveled up. And the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. And the wheel runs together at the well. The wheel of the organism called the body that just works together like a clock. The gears start breaking. And one by one, the organs shut down to only one organ, the one that started functioning first, the heart, remains beating a few last beats. And it stops. Short, never to go again when the old man dies, like the song says. The grandfather's clock. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. I remember the mourners going about the streets in Guatemala. I don't know, it was just something about getting back to life as it is, simpler, in a simpler fashion. First of all, getting exposed to the Mum Indian community in the mountains above Xela, and watching the... I saw a funeral procession come of just people walking. I was used to a funeral procession being a bunch of cars driving along, but this was just mountain folk, and it was a long procession. The dust was rising in the distance before they got there. And it was easily noticeable because the women wear their colored dresses, outfits. They have their special names, those very... colorful and long skirts and blouses that they wear, and the men with their mountain cowboy type hats and their rough pants and their sandals with cracked up feet that are trudging along, and number of people carrying the casket way high in the air ahead of them. And I just remember looking at that and just thinking about the finality of death, how final, how ending, how momentous this was. And as it got closer and closer, I started to smell a smell that was just all pervading and very different from what I had ever smelled before. And I was afraid it was the body in the casket, but only to find out after they all passed and someone else told me that's the smell of mountain folk who don't feel the need to, or just doesn't work out well for them to get a shower even once a week. And it just amazed me. I just stood there thinking about that. And these dear souls that all passed to pay their last respects to a loved one, the mourners, not about the streets, but about the dusty path way up into the hills where they were going to lay it to rest. The dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Remember your Creator before these bad times, for this body, this life It seems so strong. There are so many exciting things to be doing and thinking. Before you feel yourself die by inches, before you don't feel like facing, you don't have will to face the years that arrive, remember. And so how do we remember our Creator? I'd just like to turn back a little bit in this same book for a few things. Back to chapter 4. While we're here, like how verse 9 talks about the treasure of friendship. I think Barzillai had learned that pretty well. He learned that two are better than one. He had learned that it pays to be loyal. He learned that that's what older people would be comforted by in later years. And on the other hand, what you would regret at the end of life. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. One reason. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. It's number two. Woe to him who's alone when he falls, for there is not a second one to help him up. Number three, if two lie down together, both stay warm. But how can one stay warm alone? Again, if one is added strength, two will stand before him, and a threefold cord's not quickly broken. Treasure of friendship. And that's just, well, just think of there's a song, how is it, Brother Kevin, maybe you could help me, that Brother Man, O Man Redeemed, is the way John Overholt changed it, but the original version of that, which we plan to include in our hymn book, is, O Brother Man, fold to thy heart thy brother. If you think about fellow man, it's a brother man. And I was just reading we were reading to the children the Bishop's Shadow, that book, and here the phrase came up in there, how you treat your brother man, someone said in there, or how you look at your brother man. And fold to your heart your brother. This is about remembering your Creator and remembering that He created somebody before you. We don't have to lift ourselves up. In fact, it would be so unwise to do so. Let's turn to 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 5, it's better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than for a man to hear the song of senseless men. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of senseless men, or the foolish. This is also vanity. Verse 16, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise, lest you be confounded. Do not be very ungodly, nor be hardened, lest you die before your time. So don't be overly righteous or overly wise, lest you be confounded. And don't be very ungodly either. Verse 18, it's good that you lay hold of this and do not let your hand go of it. For the one who fears God, all things will turn out well, at least in the end. It doesn't pay to lift ourselves up and be overly wise. There are other people that have more wisdom, especially in your youth. It's very sad to, and to And it sometimes goes backwards from our thinking. When we first come to know the Lord and we learn a whole bunch of wisdom, we want to share that with other people. And sometimes we want to teach older men and try to change them just right now. And because of our youth and inexperience, we get things mixed up and forget some basic principles and forget to lay our hand on our mouth, like, and shut up, like Job said he needed to do when he met his Creator and he thought of his Creator and his Creator spoke to him. That thought is expressed in another portion right here. Chapter 5. Back to chapter 5. That's verse 1. Do not be hasty with your mouth, and do not let your heart be quick to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes in a multitude of distractions, and the voice of senseless man is, and then the voice of a senseless man or a fool is with a multitude of words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for His will is not in senseless men. So pay whatever you vow. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, and do not say in the presence of God, "It was a mistake." Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? So back to that thought there. Therefore, verse 1, therefore let your words be few. He's in heaven and you're on earth. And He created people before you, people that you ought to respect. So let's finish with a few verses in 1 John. Just some thoughts here before I dig into these verses. Just seems like it's just how people... There are people that, instead of remembering their Creator and how He creates new life too, they decide they don't want to be a part of that. And there are husbands and wives that just say, children are a bother. And I don't know how many old men come into our place of business say, tell me, I just wish I had a few more. I just wish we would have had a few more children. But, you know, the wife was working and it just seemed too expensive at the time, but I see it now, we could have. And that doesn't mean they had to or that's the most important thing, but they didn't remember their Creator. It was right now and I don't think we can do it and I don't think it's going to work. When they could have, is what they knew, what these old men confess to me. There's one, and in these older men, they tell me how it just seems like I'd be a little younger. I would have had to stay a little younger if I would have had some more. And on that thought, there's a couple that I'm told they never wanted to have any children at all. They just considered them to be a bother. And so to this day, they haven't had any. But it's interesting speaking with that individual, that man. He'll often make the comment, when you get to be my age, speaking of physical infirmities or something, he just keeps reminding me, when you get to be my age, you'll face it a lot worse. And I look at him, you're not that old. I don't tell him that, but he's not. But he keeps telling me how old he is. And it just seems to fit together a little bit. If we remember our Creator. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, just take a few thoughts here. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He was writing to young men, just taking completely for granted that they would have remembered their Creator, and were doing so presently, and were just rejoicing in the strength that resulted from that. Overcoming. This book of 1 John is just so full of speaking of considering others and loving the brethren. We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren, and we know, where was this that it says, chapter 5, I think. Yes, verse 2. First John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. Like it's all important here to love the children of God. And then you can know that you love the children of God when you love God and keep His commandments. I mean, that's just going to be natural. Natural result of keeping God's commandments and loving Him, this loving the children of God would be that, just be that automatic response of remembering our Creator. Well, just think it was a few months ago, it's on the news that an actor passed away, and his daughter said that his last words were, "So much wasted time." And may God help us that our regret wouldn't be that, but rather, yes, that we could have done more. But to think of years wasted in self-gratification and in fame and fortune. May God help us to spend our time for Him, to love Him and His children. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness and these reminders from Your good Word. Lord, help us to be like Barzillai, who remembered You and remembered his fellow man and did a good deed at the perfect time. Dear Father, help us. Lord, even if it's not recorded later, then why should it be? It's only our duty to do. Help us to be quick to do Your bidding and to do that which lasts unto eternal life. Bless the brethren here. And again, for our brother David, bless him. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Something to add to that, brothers? thoughts you may have.
I was thinking about developing, growing old. One of the things that made me think about it this week was pounding the big corner post in with the post pounder on the scoot gear. And you can move the post and get it straight to a certain point, but once you get so far in, then it's just almost impossible to make any adjustments to it. And I just thought about it in relationship to life, that as we grow older, it's harder and harder to make corrections and adjustments in ourselves if we don't do it while we're just getting started or getting closer to the point of no return, then it's a lost cause. But at first, when you start pounding it in, you can get it kind of just going the right direction. You don't worry too much because you still have time to straighten it out or get it level.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get closer to it, gets harder and harder. You want to really make sure it's nice and straight, because a few more pounds and it would just be near impossible to move.
That's a pretty good example. Thank you. Yeah, it's just, and what I was reading this morning is just scratching the surface. I mean, the Bible is just full of that. And even talking about not being overly wise, not being overly good, or righteous. Righteous, there's a difference between just being good and being right all the time. And how I told someone on Friday night how this is, the Lord hates this spiritual pride that stands up and tries to instruct your elder. And correct him was the very words that were used. Correct him when he's wrong. Pray for him. If you see somebody that's wrong, we all have mistakes. We all have our weak points. And that they were created before we were for a reason. And yeah, there's just nothing. We just don't have anything if we can't be loyal to one another and honor those that are worthy of that honor, because they're older. A lot of times these people have helped form and fashion us, given us what we have, especially in the case of our own parents. They've given us life. Which is such a gift. That's one thing that impressed me this week, the thought of the gift of life, just to be given life. Ought to make us be enough to sometimes shut you right up. Blessing.